Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. And today we're going to devote our entire show to airing the first half of our La Mesa City Council Candidates Forum, which took place via Zoom and was live streamed on Facebook on Thursday, October 15th. Okay, we are now recording and live streaming our forum on Facebook. Welcome, everyone. I'm Miriam Raftery, the editor of East County Magazine and moderator of tonight's forum. I want to thank everyone for joining us at our forum for the La Mesa City Council candidates who are running to fill the vacancy left by Dr. Akilah Weber's election to the State Assembly. La Mesa is my hometown. It's known as the Jewel of the Hills, a place with a historic village and a strong sense of pride and community character. It's also a city that's seen its share of challenges in the last year and a half or so with the global pandemic that's left many people and businesses struggling, exacerbating problems such as homelessness and access to affordable housing. The city has also faced civil unrest, raising concerns over equity for all, but also public safety. The next council member will be addressing these issues and many more. And so we are very pleased tonight to have four of the candidates who have agreed to join us. Now we have Kathleen Brand, Patricia Dillard, and Laura Lothian, and Mijan Afshan. So thank you all for coming. There are also two other candidates in the race who are not present tonight. Michelle Loudon did not respond to multiple emails and phone calls. Jim Steeringer says he only participates in in-person events, but he did send information on his candidacy, and you can find that on our website at eastcountymagazine.org. So we're going to start tonight by asking each candidate to provide an opening statement of 2 minutes, and then we'll move on to questions and wrap up with 1 minute closing statement. So you will each get some time at the end to address anything that you didn't fit in opening statements or that wasn't included in our questions. We'll begin with Kathleen. If you can share your qualifications, why you're running, and your top priorities if elected in your opening statement. And we do have a timekeeper, Jonathan Goetz, who will give everyone a 15-second warning and then let you know when the time is up. Kathleen, let's hear from you.
Thank you, Miriam. My name is Kathleen Brand. I have been a resident of La Mesa for 21 years. And I have been a volunteer in this community for over 20. So I work as a city planner for the city of San Diego in downtown San Diego. And I'm also a licensed landscape architect. I've been a small business owner. I have worked for private firms. And now I work in the public sector. So for me, I have a broad background in how cities work. I have a very good understanding of all the new regulations coming from the city or from the state down to us. And I have a great passion and respect for La Mesa. I love this city. I think this is the best small city in this county. And I think it is the responsibility of the city council to make sure that it stays that way. The three points that I basically am bringing forward on my platform is equity, transparency, and quality of life. Equity in that we must think about La Mesa as a whole. We must think about all the neighborhoods and to continue to create strong neighborhoods. Our El Cajon Boulevard, our University Avenue, our Lake Murray, all of that, as well as our downtown, our mall, we need to make sure that when the city is spending money on infrastructure or any type of amenities, even fixing our roads, that we are looking at the city comprehensively and all as a whole. The other thing is transparency. I know we have started with the oversight board for our police department, but I also want to bring a lot of transparency to the city government. I think that everything that the city does, every decision that's made, has to be accounted for. And no more meetings that are done verbally. We have to have a public record of all information and the reason why. And finally, the final one is quality of life. And that leads to better parks, more parks, infrastructure, street repair, sidewalks, ADA ramps. And that's my focus.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Patricia, Could we hear from you with your opening statement?
Yes, and thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, my name is Patricia Dillard. I'm running for La Mesa City Council. I am rooted here in La Mesa. We've been homeowners since 1996, so 25 years rooted here. We've also raised our three children here, and they all attended our schools. So we are very much a part of the community of La Mesa. The reason I'm running is because I currently serve as the vice chair for the Community Police Oversight Board. It's something that I've been doing now for almost 2 years. Worked on the ordinance to get everything set up for the board, which was recently approved. Well, it wasn't recently approved now. At the end of last year, we finally got all the ordinances approved so that we could create the board. And then I also started with the board in January of this year and was quickly made vice chair. And we've been working ever since to bring criminal justice reform to the La Mesa Police Department. And I also recently just helped hire the independent police auditor. And that team is now very fast at work doing a lot of auditing to try to bring some answers to the community. The reason why I'm running is because I want to continue to do more for La Mesa. I am endorsed by Dr. Akila Weber. She's chosen me to take that seat, and I feel very well qualified to do that job. Not only am I already working with the city of La Mesa and the police department, but I'm also a businesswoman, and I understand how to negotiate and make hard decisions that would be in the best interest of the community of La Mesa. I want to work to better our streets and our neighborhoods. And I know that construction is an issue that has been brought up time and time again. And I have a lot of great ideas that would help build our communities, rebuild some communities that need to be rebuilt, and promote walkable, bikeable areas for our community so that we're not faced with so many traffic issues and other construction that is affecting our traffic and other parts of the community. I look forward to working with the city council members and getting a lot of this work done. And I would ask for your vote. Please vote now, even though the ballots are, say, November the 2nd. Please pull them out now and vote and send them in the mail and mark Patricia Dillard for city council. You won't regret it. Doing well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Patricia. Laura, let's hear your opening statement, please. Laura Lothian.
Okay. Hi, Miriam, and thanks for hosting this this forum. I have a feeling...
Oops, your sound just cut out, Laura.
I'm pausing the clock.
Okay, yeah, we'll pause the clock for you for a moment to fix this technical problem. If it froze up and you need to log back in...
We started with AT&T and it's off.
Do you have a cell phone? You could try logging in on a cell phone maybe, or hey, John, while she's working on that, why don't we hear your opening statement and we'll come back to Laura here in a moment.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Mejgan Afshan, and I'm a 30-plus year resident of La Mesa. I went to La Mesa Middle School. I attended Helix High School and graduated, and also attended Grossmont College, and transferred to San Francisco State, where in my last year, I was an intern for Mayor Gavin Newsom of the City and County of San Francisco. I went on to work for Nancy Pelosi in her congressional office as she became the Speaker of the House. And eventually I moved back to San Diego, back to La Mesa, and worked for the San Diego County Democratic Party as one of two field directors for the 2008 campaign. And so I have a long history of working in the community. And as of about 8 years ago, seven, 8 years ago, I started working in immigrants' rights and refugee rights. And as a civil rights advocate who is who has co-founded our Borderlands for Equity organization in La Mesa since January of last year. We focus on those who have been discriminated on. We represent those that have been discriminated against on the basis of gender, race, religion, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. As a longtime advocate of and a public policy person, I know I have the most experience being an active Democrat for 20 years and making sure to understand what policy means when it comes to the city, state, and federal government. I'm the only candidate with that experience out of all of the candidates that are running this year. And I think it's very important to have somebody who understands what it means to understand the policy process and governments and how they work together. And we need to be able to
focus
on our equitable policy platform. Our equitable policy platform is absolutely going to help our community members, and I look forward to addressing it in the rest of this candidate forum. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Jean. And Laura is back with us. Laura, can you say something so we make sure we can hear you this time?
Hi, Miriam. I am now on my iPhone.
Much better connection. iPhones are great.
Awesome.
The salvation of us for these some of these Zoom meetings. Now we're going to hear from Laura with her opening statements.
Okay. All right. Well, hi, Miriam. And again, thank you for hosting this candidate forum. It gives everybody an opportunity to hear the differences between us. My name is Laura Lothian. I am a city council candidate. It is an open election. There are no incumbents, and it is a special election. Every day is election day until November 2nd. So I know that the ballots have been hit last week. So please check Laura Lothian, mail those in ASAP. It is a complete mail-in election. I am a longtime La Mesa mom, three adult children now, a longtime La Mesa resident and homeowner. I'm also La Mesa's top real estate agent. I have the distinction of selling the most homes in La Mesa for the last 20 years. So I think that sort of makes me La Mesa's unofficial cheerleader. I love this town, so it's very easy for me to get other people to fall in love with it. Our current city council right now has four members that are all from the government sector. I really believe that a voice that is exclusively from the private sector could be something that would give the business community in La Mesa an ally on the city council. And I also know, I know a strong work ethic, and I understand getting results done. It's amazing to me when I see government entities table and postpone and get meetings, and they don't seem to ever just come to a decision. So my top priorities for La Mesa is help the businesses. We are overregulated. We are overtaxed. We also have very messy parks, streets, on-ramps, and off-ramps. I don't understand why our standards are so low that we accept litter and trash. Let's get rid of it. The other thing also is get back to the potholes. I have a client who was filling his own potholes before he put his house on the market. Come on, that's something a city is supposed to do. So, and the last thing is that Sandag is trying to sneak a tax and track mileage tax, where every time you go to register your car, you would get taxed for all the miles you drove. That would be devastating to the economy, and it would hurt the people who could least afford it. And believe it or not, that city council seat on La Mesa will have a huge impact on Sandag, which is why I'm getting so much support from the Republican Party of San Diego County, the Lincoln Club, Reform California, other mayors like Mayor Bailey from Coronado, who's running for Congress. They really want to fight against this extra tax.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, as you can hear, folks out there, we have and see for those watching on Facebook, we have a very diverse array of candidates tonight with quite a range of opinions on the issues. And now we're going to move on to the question section. And thank you to those of you out there who sent some suggested questions in. We've tried to combine them and get as many in as we could. The first few questions, candidates will have 2 minutes each to respond. And then we have a couple of questions at the end that'll be shorter. We will rotate who answers first so that throughout the evening, everybody will get to go first and everybody will be last, depending, you know, what you think is an advantage there. Patricia, we'll start with you on this question. The pandemic has exacerbated our region's already serious homelessness problem. The city of La Mesa currently does not have shelters or transitional housing to help the homeless get off of the streets.
We have seen from the hepatitis outbreak a couple of years ago, and now a Shigella outbreak in San Diego locally, that ignoring homelessness can have public health ramifications as well as humanitarian concerns. So the question is, what steps, if any, would each of you support to reduce homelessness in La Mesa and help those who are unhoused find access to services, shelters, transitional or permanent housing? Patricia, we'll let you go first on this one.
Okay, and thank you for that question. It's a really important question. As I walk, knock, and talk to voters, it is often brought up that, and also we did a survey last year with the task force and determined that that was the number one concern for the city of La Mesa when I worked on the task force last year. And it is an important issue. It is a multifaceted issue. And what I would like to do is something that I've already been doing is, first of all, we have to reach out to nonprofit organizations that are already specialized in homelessness. There's many different facets of homelessness. And the fact that we have the largest per capita trolley station stops, does it kind of exacerbates the situation because people can quickly get off of the trolley in La Mesa and then go, you know, to other cities that are nearby, like Lemon Grove and El Cajon, Santee, et cetera, and then stop in at another, you know, undetermined time. So it's really hard to try to get a grip on, you know, just how many homeless we have and where these people are exactly from any given time. So we have to work with communities that are outside of La Mesa as well as within to try to develop a plan that we're all working together to try to minimize the homelessness issue. And of course, it filters into criminal justice, which is another part of my platform that, you know, we can work with the police department. They actually have a program, okay, called HOME. That's on the City of La Mesa website. And they're also working diligently to try to get people that are have expertise in mental health and can assist with this issue. And as far as having a place for them to go, we also need to have our own shelter here in La Mesa.
Thank you, Patricia. Mejan, can you please elaborate on your views on how to address the homelessness issue?
Absolutely. And as the only candidate endorsed by the San Diego County Democratic Party and the Sierra Club, I think it's very important to understand that our issue of houseless siblings on these streets is not going to go away. This pandemic has not only revealed the inequities of our healthcare system, but it's also reveals the inequities that have been faced by so many of our siblings that have been struggling for decades. We need to be able to expand wraparound services, and this is part of my equitable policy platform to make sure that we expand not just mental health programs, but also the wraparound services provided, like organizations. Bless you. Provided by organizations and groups that are already doing this work in La Mesa. We absolutely dropped the ball when it came to creating a shelter in La Mesa a couple of years ago. And I think that this is a priority for our community because as many of us have seen, the numbers of folks on the streets have only increased, unfortunately, over the past several years. And so I urge everybody to vote for me for city council and make sure to visit our website at www.votemishgan2021.com. And we would love your support in these final last less than 3 weeks. And make sure to fill out those ballots before it's too late.
Okay. Thank you, Mishan. Laura, let's hear from you with your views on how to address La Mesa's homelessness problems.
Okay. So by all measures, the homeless population is getting worse throughout California and La Mesa. California has thrown $13 billion at the homeless problem in the last 3 years. the way usually you can solve a problem with money, but in this situation, we're not solving it. We're making it worse. The money goes to all of these cities and counties in grants. There's a lot of bloated spending, wasteful spending, and it's very disjointed. I remember 15 years ago, La Mesa had basically one homeless guy, and his name was Larry. Now we have dozens. Yesterday, I was by the Heritage Inn Hotel. There's a tent city. Point Loma has a tent city now. La Mesa has tent cities. And the problem is, La Mesa can't solve the problem because La Mesa is a high density city that has expensive real estate. I don't know why we're building shelters and homeless hotels in San Francisco, Malibu, Los Angeles, La Mesa, San Diego. It doesn't make sense because you'll build a shelter and you'll never have enough beds because no matter what you have, the surrounding community is going to experience the overflow. The true solution, and to me, it's so obvious, I don't know why it's not being done, is take that money and build facilities where there's open space, not where you're in downtown Bankers Hill and downtown San Diego and downtown La Mesa, but you build it where there's open space, the real estate is cheap, and the economies are depressed over there. And then you have the homeless people would have shelter, food, medical care, housing, babysitting, job training, and then you could ban the living on the streets, relieving yourself on the streets, injecting drugs on yourself on the streets. And the question is always framed, how will you help the homeless? It's never how will you reduce the homeless or how will you help the communities struggling with homelessness in their neighborhoods and their businesses. There's businesses in downtown La Mesa that literally have people sleeping in their doorsteps every night that they have to deal with in the morning when they open their businesses.
Okay, thank you, Laura. And those are points well taken also. Kathleen, could we hear your views on how you would address the homelessness situation in La Mesa?
Well, I think you have to have a multi-pronged approach to the homeless situation. It's many different facets to the whole problem. And I think you're seeing more people homeless and on the streets because they got pushed out of their houses. They lost their jobs. The pandemic has not helped whatsoever. So I think with this multi-pronged approach, you have to see it more reasonably, like at a regional scale. So we need to work with Lemon Grove, with the county, with El Cajon, as a comprehensive plan so that we can actually get something done. Whether that means La Mesa has a small shelter for the homeless, that could be a start. But then we also need supportive housing. Supportive housing is when you first take people off the street and they get housing with all of their conditions, whether it is dependencies, whether it's mental health. And that's where you get the wraparound services to stabilize people, to find help for people, to get training for people. And then from there, the absolute most important thing we should be doing now is building affordable housing. It is not government subsidized housing. Affordable housing is for working class people, and working class people are being pushed out of San Diego. So that first level of affordability is 80% of the area median income. That's a single individual making $65,000 a year. That's what we're building housing for. People who are working full time and can't even afford to live in San Diego region. So to me, we don't have a housing problem. We have an affordable housing problem. And that is exacerbating our homeless issues. So we need to be working with our neighbors. We need to be working with the county. We need to be part of the solution. And each one of us is going to have to work together to assure that we have a vibrant economy for everyone, including the middle class, including the working class, as well as those that can afford the housing prices of today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. And I want to thank everyone, by the way, for staying on time with these answers so we can give everyone equal time and getting as many questions as possible. Last year, racial justice protests and then a devastating riot shook La Mesa's sense of security while also exposing trust issues between people of color and the police. And certainly La Mesa is not alone in many of these issues. Since then, La Mesa has created a citizens police oversight board. They fired a police officer and they hired Chief Sweeney to head up the police force. I would like to know each of your opinions about the proposals made by the Police Oversight Board and the reforms undertaken so far by the police department, including Chief Sweeney's, I think, proposed six-step plan that most of you have probably seen. I mean, do these things go far enough, too far? And what other ideas might any of you have for healing racial tensions in La Mesa, building trust in police, but also assuring public safety? Mejean, it's your turn to go first.
That's a great question. And I've had the chance to meet Chief Sweeney in his multiple conversations with La Masons. And he implemented some of the suggestions that I made to him in his first presentation in La Mesa when he became chief. So I know firsthand as a civil rights advocate, how to speak to and how to work with in collaboration and with law enforcement, whether it be the police department of La Mesa, whether it be the sheriff's department in our unincorporated areas, whether it be DHS, FBI, our multiple layers of government that require law enforcement to, you know, really step up in what's happening in La Mesa. As a legal observer of what happened in La Mesa last May 30th, it is critical that we turn a page on the ugly incidents of the past several years. And I suggest as part of our equitable policy platform to be able to make sure we continue to fund the independent auditor for our police oversight board. And I have worked with other police oversight boards in our county to make sure that we continue to address this issue of safety in our communities, but also change the communication by implementing a new cultural sensitivity training for not just police officers, but the administrative staff and all of our La Mesa City Council and government workers. That will go a long way to make sure that we address these issues and re-educate ourselves on how to communicate with our community members. And without these changes, how will we be able to address equity? Equity is not an issue that can be done with one vote, one resolution, one election, and one action. It is an ongoing conversation that we have to commit to as a community in La Mesa and have ongoing conversations as they involve and make sure that we have our communities of color. And as a woman of color, I know that our community deserves to have everybody thrive. And so I urge everybody to vote for me to make sure that we can turn the page on the ugly incidents of the past several years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Laura, let's hear from you on the issue of racial tensions, policing, and public safety.
Okay. Last year was pretty shocking. I live in the village, and I couldn't believe the looting. I couldn't believe the rock throwing. I couldn't believe the fires. I drove to the library, the police department, everywhere, and the look I saw on people's faces was not one of unfair or suffering. I was looking at glee. It was anarchy, and they were having a wonderful time. There could have been anger at the base of it, but ultimately it turned into stealing, looting, burning, and it was horrible. I want people to recognize that La Mesa is 109 years old. We have had a Mayberry reputation for over a century. Now, a lot of that has to do with how safe the police have kept the city of La Mesa. We have had, if you ask any police officer over the years, there have been thousands, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of police interaction with members of the public. There have been three incidences in the last few years that garnered all that attention. They were racial incidents, and yes, they need to be reviewed. We don't want any racial incidents, but we also have to realize that there's always more to the story than what appears on the surface. And a lot of times we have a media that's very biased that wants to inflame tensions because it causes more people to watch the news. So what I don't want to happen is that we have police that are afraid to police. And I know that we have an oversight committee that was chosen to basically police the police. And did you also know that you can be a felon on probation and be on that police oversight committee? So again, I talk to police all the time. They feel isolated. They feel demoralized. And I'm afraid that our city is going to turn into the spikes in crimes like cities are experiencing all over the country. And we do not want that in La Mesa.
Thank you, Laura. Kathleen, I believe you're the last one on this. Can you address your views on racial tensions, policing, police reforms, and the public safety question?
Actually, I think Patricia's next, but
I'm sorry. I got confused.
No, that's fine. I'm next, or Patricia's after me, I believe, okay, in the row. So I think what happened with the demonstrations, I believe in having demonstrations. I believe in the freedom of speech. I believe in the freedom of people getting together to voice their concerns. I think it's very important. I like that Chief Sweeney has come up with the 6-step plan, but I think as the city council, we have to actually create benchmarks to make sure that the police are meeting those goals that they have set out with Chief Sweeney, and continue to work with the public on making sure that those are the right goals. And if we need to move in a different direction to actually be successful in La Mesa and creating that equality that we deserve and we need. I think with the racial tensions, we need to also start to look at what our police force looks like to make sure that it represents our community. La Mesa is a changing community, and I think that's great. I also think that with the police oversight board, we need to make sure that that is a permanent board, that it is not going away with any new council coming in, but that it stays and it remains functional. And I think also that we need to make sure that they stay transparent, they keep their independent auditor, and they make sure that the police force are not part of the situation or the evaluation, but they're purely for explanation purposes. I want to make sure that we have absolute transparency in our city in everything that we do. And I think it's important for the community to know that they have a say in how things move forward. Because as a city council member, you work for the community, not for yourself, not for your donors, not for your party. You work for the people and what they want to see happen and change. I think the other thing that we have to look at in the long run is looking at how the police interact with the community. And I think a great place to start is working with our students. We have the interaction with bike rodeos. We have safety training for children. All of that is a positive, and it has to continue and continue, and reaching out to more populations in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. And Patricia, we'll let you wrap up this question on policing racial tensions and public safety.
Yes, and thank you for the question. First of all, there was an after-action report that was established last year by Hillard Hines. And in that report, it stated countless errors and missteps that were done by the police department. In addition to that, I want to make it clear about exactly what I know are the facts in regards to that incident on May the 30th. There were peaceful protesters that were initially involved. And I have talked to countless voters regarding this. There's a lot of people that lived very close to the Vaughn's Shopping Center and around that area. And there were tons and tons of witnesses regarding this. But unfortunately, there were people that were from outside the community that actually came in and started the riots and began, violating our buildings and breaking the windows, et cetera. So the after action report that was given was actually a definition to help guide the police department to make those corrections. And that was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. Moving fast forward, one of the reasons why it's so important for the board to understand the complex issues of the police department is, number one, it's been there forever, and they've never been forced to have to make changes before. And like any corporation, I've worked for corporate America and also run my own company. And whenever things change, the organization needs to change and adapt to the community in which they're involved with. And in this particular case, we have the same issues where the police department had to basically face up to issues that they needed to address. And I think that it's a really good start that Chief Sweeney actually has the first step process, and that the CPOB is number one of the 6. And it's only because he decided to lean in and listen and really hear what the community was trying to say. They want transparency. They want accountability. But they just simply want people to tell them the truth about what happened and then tell them how they're going to fix it or at least address it and make changes to make it better and minimize incidents like we've seen in the past. There hasn't been three incidents. There's been many incidents, but unfortunately, some of them haven't been as public as others. And that's what the independent police auditors were hired to do. And as far as the ordinances are concerned, they are very secure in keeping this board. The board's not going away. And it has to be people that understand. And that's one of the reasons why we're involved with NACO, which is, by the way, the National Association for Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement, is in a national association that the board is involved with to help get the training that's needed to continue to address these issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patricia. Our next question deals with housing. The San Diego region has a serious shortage of housing, especially affordable homes, as is true of much of California. The city council has made some steps to attempt to address this, recently allowing homeowners to build accessory dwelling units, also known as granny flats. As Laura mentioned, though, there sometimes are issues with that. Also, they have approved some residential projects that were taller and more dense than in the past, such as a large project at Baltimore and El Cajon Boulevard, and a new four-story apartment building that they just moved forward on this week that will be going on the old police station site downtown. Some residents, though, have voiced concerns about waiving height limits and allowing denser construction that could impact parking and the historic community character in La Mesa. Candidate Jim Stieringer, who isn't here tonight, has called the new Baltimore project a fortress and said he thinks this kind of thing is out of scale for our area, while others view this as a solution to the housing crisis. I would like each of you to share your vision of what smart growth means to you and what kind of housing you would like to see over the long term in La Mesa. And specifically, can you address how you would balance these conflicting needs of meeting housing needs while protecting community character? And specifically, do you support waivers for height or density limits in certain, in certain circumstances? Laura, I believe it's your turn to go first on this one. As a realtor, you've got some expertise, I think, in housing.
You bet. And I will come at this from a real estate perspective and also from a homeowner that was actually trying to build two cottages in my backyard. I live on Lemon. My home happens to be zoned for 13 units. Not that I would ever do that, but I was trying to build two cottages in my backyard. The mandates that were required by the city of La Mesa and the state of California, which included fire truck turnarounds, retaining walls, drainage, whatever, turned out to be between $200,000 and $300,000. So it killed the project. Yeah. And so what I witness all the time in California, and it's so funny, I just bought a house in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And when I went house shopping there, the price are a fifth, a tenth of what they are here. And Chapel Hill is a university city. It has Franklin Street, which is filled with restaurants and pubs and boutiques. There's no reason for California to be as expensive as it is, but there is. And what it is we're so regulated. And what ends up happening is that you make it impossible, or California makes it impossible to build. And then when things become so expensive, then they start subsidizing it. And I always compare it to breaking someone's leg and then giving them a crutch. So every builder I speak to says, you've got to simplify building. Permits shouldn't be this brutally painful to get. It shouldn't take years to build a project. I do not like these high density apartment buildings. The one on Baltimore is a third of a mile. It's high density. It's changing the entire character of La Mesa. Everyone I'm speaking to, I'm speaking to hundreds of people as well since July, and everybody's appalled. No matter where you come from the political spectrum, I don't know anyone that's cheering that building. The one on Allison at the old police station, that's going to be 140-something units. It's only going to have 60 or 70 parking spots. That is going to jam up the parking town. Again, the high density apartment, the SB 9 and 10, where they're going to start splitting properties and building fourplexes where houses are, it's just going to turn neighborhoods ugly.
Thank you very much, Laura, for your perspective. And Kathleen, as a planner, let's hear your views on this important issue.
Well, I think with all the regulations that are coming down for the state right now, it's very important that everyone understand exactly what's happening with the housing situations. There are a lot of new rules. I don't like it when the state mandates zoning, but we have to work within those parameters right now until we get somebody that makes changes to those laws. As far as building ADUs, yes, you can build an ADU right now. And SB 9 has one of those sections where everyone now by right in every city has the right to build an ADU. But that doesn't mean you still don't have to have review of the structural plans, making sure that your stormwater is not flowing into somebody else's yard or that the whole building slides down the hill. La Mesa has, you still have to actually construct something that is buildable and meets all the other codes. I think housing in San Diego and in the region is expensive because land prices are expensive, because people can sell for more money. Look at how high our houses have skyrocketed in this pricing right now. I mean, my husband and I both have decent jobs, but we would never be able to afford our house right now if we were to go into the market now. So I think some of this high density development, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. But I think what we do need to do is we need better architecture and we need stronger design. So in the city of San Diego, the architects are pushing for an architectural review board. We have an architectural review board. And I want to make sure that the city planners do not have a voting right on that. We need to have, if we have to have this density and it's mandated from the state, then we need to know that we have at least decent looking architecture. We also need design guidelines, which the Historical Commission and the Architectural Review Board can work on. If we're going to have this density within certain areas, like near our trolleys, then at a minimum, we need to have good architecture that fits with this community.
Okay, thank you very much, Kathleen. And Patricia, could we hear your views on the housing situation?
Yeah, it is a challenge. As I walk, knock, and talk to voters, I'm getting the same feedback. There's traffic issues that I feel that weren't necessarily fully addressed as far as other streets that are affected, especially when we talk about just the most one that everyone talks about, which is the Jefferson build. That's almost completed at this time.
It's the Baltimore Drive project.
Yes, yeah. The one on Baltimore. It's the one that most of the voters talk about at this point because it's affected them in many ways, especially with traffic. And I think initially the thought was that if they offered less parking and made it closer to a trolley stop, that would minimize, cars. But that remains to be seen, right? Because there's really no other place to park on the street right in front. If we're just going to use that as an example, because it's one that everyone seems to know so much about. And across the street is the fire department and, the post office. So I'm just wondering if, there's going to be parking there instead of people getting the idea of one car per unit. What is somebody going to do if they move in and they have more than one car? And is that really going to encourage people to take the trolley? I hope they do. The whole idea was to be environmentally effective, but that remains to be seen as far as that location. But what I do think that there is something to better architecture and well thought out planning. We're forced to have to deal with this issue. But I think that if we stay along the trolley line, there's other places like along the 8 corridor, there's another space that's going to be opening up for high density property. I think that as long as it's thoughtfully thought out and traffic is also a consideration, that it can be done. It just needs better design and better thought out process.
Thank you very much. Yeah, good point. Just because you live on a trolley line or even commute on a trolley doesn't mean you might not own more than one vehicle for going places on weekends or maybe one spouse that works further away. Mejan, let's hear your views about how you would address the housing concerns in La Mesa.
You know, I have been talking to La Mason since April. I was the first candidate to announce my candidacy. I was the first candidate to apply and file for this election. And I have been talking to literally thousands of people in La Mesa and hundreds of business owners and folks like people who own the owner of Honey and Hive Salon right there on La Mesa Boulevard, coffee shop that is called Lightbulb Coffee, right down the street from there. And so many other amazing business owners and folks that live in La Mesa have been talking to me about their housing concerns. People cannot afford to buy a home. As Kathleen brought up, there's many people here in La Mesa that would not be able to afford the home that they live in right now had they had to pay for it. And that's outrageous. You don't have to have children or be married or have grandchildren to know that people that are struggling cannot get into affordable homes. It is a crisis that is epic. And we want to introduce a first-time home buyers program in La Mesa to help people secure housing, whether it be a condo or a freestanding home, to help them in their time of need. The housing that is being built, there's just not enough affordable, equitable access to affordable housing. And if we do not create more larger percentages for our communities that are working to get into this housing, you can build all the buildings you want, Miriam, but if you can't have people afford them, then what's the whole point of it, right? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense. So we need to increase the amount of accessible, equitable access to affordable housing and make sure that we introduce one of the first home buyers programs in East County. Yeah. And it is very important. When you have that time. Well, I just wanted to say we want to be able to introduce this for La Mesa because our La Mesa residents need them. And folks like me who are trying to secure their first home cannot afford to live in a place that is so highly priced. So we need to be able to do better by all of our community members. Thank you so much.
Very interesting idea. It's the city of El Cajon, I should note, has a first-time home buyer program, or they did at least. Very interesting idea. Next question, moving on. La Mesa's downtown merchants have struggled in recent times with challenges posed by, you name it, you know, street shutdowns, a recession, a pandemic, civil unrest. I would like to know, what ideas do you have for helping to support these businesses and enhance the downtown district? And beyond that, to revitalize or redevelop other parts of the city where residents and businesses want help to improve their communities too. Patricia, I believe it's your turn to take this one first.
You know, owning your own business is such a challenge because the first thing that you think about is your overhead and your payroll. And not to mention the amount of money that you put into it yourselves as a business owner. And so there's a lot to think about when you think about if you're referring to the village and specifically, but there's other businesses that are located that are not in the village, but they're still in the city of La Mesa. So the challenges continue. I think that the city of La Mesa can do more to help businesses and to promote businesses. And one way of promoting, maybe not in all for all businesses, but just an idea that I think is an excellent idea, is to go back and refurbish in areas where the city is a little bit more run down. And one of the areas is on El Cajon Boulevard. And there are already businesses there, but they're kind of spread out. But if we did some refurbishing and made it so that it was more of a Renaissance feel, where we have the businesses and the shops at the bottom and apartment living and townhomes and condos all running alongside, where you make it more of a walkable area, a bikeable area, and just a community within itself, another selection. And this would increase business. It would increase the walkable business, and it would help businesses get more business because there would be more of a community available to them that would be close. And, you know, there's other things that we can do to help improve our businesses and help make sure that they get the, you know, the all of the revenue that's needed to, you know, support them. But since I'm out of time, I'll let it go at that.
Thank you, Patricia. Ms. Jean, could we hear from you about what you would do to help the businesses and the downtown district, as well as other parts of this city that, you know, that sort of want the same sort of attention?
Absolutely. I think the small businesses in our community are our lifeblood. And I am an absolute proponent and always have been of buying local and supporting our small businesses. When you go to our social media, whether it be on Facebook at Vote Mishgon 2021 or our Instagram account, you will see that our community members, specifically our local small businesses, are supporting me for this race, because I know that we need to support our community members that have these small businesses in not just the downtown La Mesa Village area, but all across La Mesa. One of the ideas that we are promoting on our equitable policy platform is making sure to increase the support for making sure we can have folks retrofit their businesses, because we know that businesses need to be able to be retrofitted, and the cost is very costly for our community members. And making sure to increase the amount of small business improvement loans that we can be able to, our grants, we can be able to provide for the community. These programs only help to amplify and help thrive for our community members to thrive. And we cannot turn a blind eye to them. Folks like Mario de la Mesa, folks from places like Hawkins Construction, folks from places like Marietta's, and other amazing, wonderful businesses in La Mesa are really doing their best to keep our community running. And especially during this pandemic, many places like Hug Thai off of Lake Murray Boulevard have really made sure to try to do a good job about serving our community, even in the midst of this pandemic. So I think we need to be able to take the federal funding and help allocate funds to helping these small businesses not only improve themselves, but also if we can be able to support them retrofitting their buildings, so we can not only have a safer environment for our community members, but a cleaner and greener environment for our community members and the generations to come. Thank you so much for that question.
Thank you, Ms. Jean. Kathleen, let's hear your views about how you would help the downtown district and other business districts across the area.
Well, as a city planner and a landscape architect, I have a very broad and solid understanding of how cities work and all the different rules and regulations that help and promote businesses. I really love the village. It's one of the things that attracted my husband and I to come to La Mesa and buy our first house. And I think when you have problems with downtown and the struggles with parking, the one thing I would like to do just very simply is just really promote all the possible parking locations that are downtown when there's conflicts with whether it's farmers market, whether it's the antique car show. There is a lot of parking in downtown that I don't think a lot of people even know it exists. And I think even just having a map on our city website, as simple as that. But I think we also need to think about how we grow La Mesa, whether it's the housing, whether it's the businesses, they all come together. And what I like is something called a 15-minute city, where that everything that you need in your neighborhood was within about a 15-minute walk. So we do need to think about the village and all of that that's there. And we also need to think about creating more neighborhoods. Our El Cajon Boulevard, our University Avenue, our Lake Murray, those should be our Adams Avenues. Those should be our Fern Streets. Again, with the mixed use, and we have specific design guidelines for a lot of these communities in these corridors that we are just not enforcing. It is commercial or retail on the bottom floor with housing above or behind. That way it gives back to the adjacent neighborhood. We have to think about who's coming into La Mesa, and we have to think about the existing residents of La Mesa. And we need to work together. And with that comes zoning codes and regulations. And I understand all of that.
Thank you. And Laura, I didn't mean to skip you. I'm sorry. I'm getting confused now about the order here. But I saw you smiling on this one as someone who has a business downtown and also serves on the La Mesa Village Association. I'm sure you must have some ideas on this. Let's hear them.
Okay. So yes, I've served on La Mesa Village Association boards for the last 15 years. A lot of people don't recognize, they're the unsung champion of downtown La Mesa. the La Mesa Village Association, they bring us Car Show. They bring us Holiday in the Village. They brought us the Farmers Market. They brought us Oktoberfest. They're what's made La Mesa a destination place. I'll go out and have lunch in Point Loma and they talk about La Mesa Village. In real estate, La Mesa Village has the desirability of La Mesa Village has extended through all the way to Mount Helix, Windsor Hills, Grossmont, Lake Murray. I always say the village is to La Mesa, but the Hotel Del is to Coronado. It's like the heartbeat of La Mesa. The pandemic was brutal on our businesses. There's a very popular restaurant in town that showed me her checking book in January of this year. She had $1,100 in it and she had $30,000 in outstanding debt for that month. I try to help the businesses when they were closed down. I volunteered to put plastic tables in the walkway of the stars, a sanitation table. I'd clean it. I'd collect the trash. I just wanted people to pick up to-go food and go there. City of La Mesa said no. They weren't allowed to put public. I couldn't put a public table in, a table in a public space, which made me laugh because our public parks are filled with public tables. So it's just like I felt like there was no one helping the businesses. And I know that right now across the country, there's a further attack on businesses. Los Angeles has a vaccine passport. And if you do that, if you make businesses have to serve only people that show vaccine passports, that's going to be devastating to the businesses. Never in the history of the United States has our government gone out of its way to destroy businesses. Yelp says something like half the businesses will never come back. This is an attack on American businesses, and we are the lifeblood of everything is built by business. Hospitals, police, roads, freeways, bridges, schools, everything comes from business, and they need to be treated better.
Thank you, Laura, for sharing those thoughts. We are out of time for today, but you can tune in Monday for part two of our La Mesa City Council Candidates Forum, and you can find video of the complete forum at eastcountymagazine.org.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show. A free press is the foundation of our democracy. You can support independent public media for our region by making a donation or a sustaining monthly pledge of any amount at www.knsj.org. We're your community radio station, KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, serving the San Diego border region from the mountains to the sea. That's www.knsj.org.